Okay.
Gold star.
Thank you. I need a gold star. Psalm 100, let's hear God's word. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you now asking that you, through your Holy Spirit, would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word, that you would direct our attention to Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. When I was a child growing up in ARP Church in Bartow, Florida, during the Sunday school time, we would sing, well, we would take up an offering, and as the offering was being taken up, we would sing, come into his courts, come into his courts, come into his courts, and bring an offering for the Lord. We would sing that every Sunday. That's why I can remember it. Come into his courts. Come into his presence. And bring an offering. Come into his courts. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. You know, when someone does something special for you, you know that you need to thank them. You need to acknowledge their kindness. You would say to yourself, well, what can I do to show my appreciation? You might give them a gift. You might send them a card. But you know that in one way or another, you need to thank them. How do we thank God for all that he has done for us? This is the question that the psalmist in Psalm 116 asks. He says, how can I repay the Lord for all of his goodness to me? Well, obviously you can't repay the Lord. You cannot give to the Lord something that's not already his, because the earth is his and everything in it. The world and all those who live therein belong to the Lord. Psalm 50. It's very interesting that the Lord is a little bit comical here. He says, even if I were hungry, even if I were in need, what could you bring to me? Because the cattle on 1,000 hills are all mine. What could you give to me that is not already mine? He needs nothing from us. He is self-sufficient. When Moses approached the burning bush and the theophany of God, of Jesus Christ, there in the burning bush, and he told Moses, I am who I am. He was saying that he is self-sufficient. He is not in need of anything outside of himself to exist. He is self-existence. So when we give to God, when we bring offerings to God, it's like giving a penny to Bill Gates. Bill Gates is not going to be better for the penny that we give him. So anything we give to God, it's not going to add to him. It's not going to make him better. But yet, this is exactly what the scriptures call us to do. To be thankful and to give, to bring an offering to the Lord. Now, put on your thinking caps. What is the offering that you are to bring? Well, we do tithes. That's good. We do service to the church. That's good. But specifically, what is it that you are to bring as an offering to God? It's you. It's you. It's your life. Verse 2 here says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. We are to serve the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. You remember in the Old Testament, what happened to the sacrifices? They were consumed. They were burnt up. What we are called to do is to offer ourselves to be consumed in the service of Jesus Christ. We are to give our thoughts, our words, our deeds. We are to give all things to Jesus Christ. We are to be consumed with service to Him. We demonstrate our service of thanksgiving by what we do. You see, the word serve, it's a verb. It's action-oriented. So what do? To show our thanksgiving? We do His law. We keep His commandments. We can only serve God rightly by keeping His commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. No matter what we think, if what we do is opposed to God's law, then what we are offering is not pleasing to Jesus Christ. Well, Pharaoh served Jesus, didn't he? Pilate served Jesus. Even Judas served Jesus. But believe you me, you don't want to serve God like those three men served. No. You want to keep God's commandments. Psalm 116 asks the question, how can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? Then he answers the question. He says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. I'll call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of His people. You see, it is not things. It is not things, giving things to God. It's giving yourself to God. We demonstrate our worship. We demonstrate our thankfulness by fulfilling our vows. In other words, by keeping the commandments. Psalm 50 puts it this way. Sacrifice offerings of thanksgiving to God and fulfill your vows to the Most High. Whether it's at work or in your family or at church or in your community, whatever the situation may be, we rightly serve God by keeping His commandments. Think about a train. For a train to be effective, it's got to have the track. Train's not going to run over here in the ditch very well, is it? It's not going to run very well over here in the cow pasture. No. Train's got to have the track. So it runs well on the track. Our track is God's Word. God tells us how to worship Him. He tells us what pleases Him in His Word. Anything that we do that contradicts God's Word, therefore, is not worship. It is not offering thanks. It is not being thankful. It is not loving to God. It is only as we stay on the track of God's Word that we worship Him correctly. But it's not just service. It's service with joy and gladness. Jesus emphasizes this point when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It is not a mechanical doing this and doing that. No, it is with emotion. It is with love. It is cherishing who Jesus is. Also, to convince the nations to worship and serve Christ in gladness, the psalmist reminds us of who God is. Verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. You see, our worship should be full of joy and gladness, but also with intelligence. You cannot rightly worship a God that you don't know. You cannot rightly worship a God that you don't know. How can we worship in spirit and in truth unless we find out the truth about God? How can we be glad without an understanding of what we're to be glad about? How can we serve unless we know who it is we are to serve? Again, looking back on Romans chapter 12, Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's good and perfect will is. It is a call to know God. It is a call to study the scriptures and to know God as he has revealed himself in his word. When Paul was on Mars Hill and he was addressing the pagans, he noticed that there was a statue that had been erected to an unknown God. And he said to the crowd, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. He then began to explain to them who God was. Thus, to worship God correctly, we must know him as he has revealed himself in the scriptures. We must know that the Lord is God. He is not a man like us. He is an eternal spirit. He is incomprehensible. We can apprehend certain things about him as he has revealed in the scriptures, but we cannot comprehend his total being. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. He gives to all life and breath and everything else. He is most holy and righteous and just. He is infinite in glory. He is ever present. He knows all. And he is wise, well beyond any of us. He is full of compassion and love and mercy to all those who seek him. He is Jesus Christ. It is in Christ that we move and live and have our being. And only he or she who comes to know God as he has revealed himself in the scriptures, we'll be able then to worship in joy and with gladness. And the reason that we are to worship in joy and gladness is because Christ is our creator. Look what it says. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. He made us. He made us for himself. What we have does not belong to us. Everything that we enjoy because God has given it to us. We cannot even claim the slightest crumb of bread to be our own. No, it all belongs to Jesus Christ. See, there in the garden, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, what began in them and has been passed down to every generation is this sinful desire to be God. Remember, Satan told them, if you eat the fruit, you'll be as God. And so there is this sinful tendency in every one of us to want to rule the world, to be God. And we bring that sin into our families, into our workplace, into our church. We want people to worship us. But the reality is, we are not God. God is God. The reality is that we live each day, each moment, upon the free gifts that God provides. Every breath that we take is a gift of God. We cannot sustain our life one moment unless God sustains us. The scriptures say that He sustains the world by the power of His word. He speaks and we are fed. He speaks and we're able to breathe. He speaks and we are kept safe. We are not the Creator. Instead, we are simply dust. We are made by Him. We are made for Him. He has made us and not we ourselves. Thus, shall not the creature reverence the Creator? Shall we not be thankful to the One who has made us? But that's not all. Not only is He our Creator, He's also our Re-Creator. He is the One who has delivered us from our sin. He has delivered us from the powers of darkness. He has delivered us from His own wrath. That's why the psalmist here in Psalm 11 says, "We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." He's referring to this relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. He protects the sheep. He provides for the sheep. Nothing will harm the sheep because of the presence of the shepherd. We've been bought with a price, the price of Christ's own blood. He has not treated us as our sins deserve. He has not repaid us according to our iniquities. Instead, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And this is why the psalmist exhorts his readers to enter into the gates, enter into the courts of the Lord with thanksgiving, and into the courts of the Lord with praise, because the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I'm reminding of the struggles of the prophet Jeremiah. If you're not familiar with Jeremiah, I would encourage you to go back and to read that book. Jeremiah, prophet of God, righteous man. Oh, he suffered greatly. But yet he writes in the book of Lamentations, "Great is the faithfulness of God. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for you. And it is the realization of that love that moves us then to worship, to adore, to give thanksgiving to the three-in-one God. It is right that we gather together to offer our thanks to Christ for His goodness, His mercy, His kindness. Yes, God is love, and He will manifest that love in our life as we seek to love Him back and to love one another. In Romans chapter 1, we find a list of great sins: idolatry, witchcraft, homosexuality. We find this list of great sins. But the Apostle Paul also shows us the seed from where these great sins grew. He doesn't just condemn these sins, but he shows you why these sins have come about. And you know what he says? They were unthankful. They were unthankful. And in their unthankfulness, they grew to be idolaters. They grew to be homosexuals. They grew to practice witchcraft. They grew to be drunkards. One tree, many branches. But the root of the wicked tree is that all the branches, all these sins began because they were not thankful to Jesus Christ for what he had done for them. Jesus tells us the story. Many lepers in Israel in the day of Jesus. Jesus healed them all. But only one returned to say thank you. My friend, will you be counted among those who come to Christ in thanksgiving? Will you be counted as those who bring an offering, the offering of yourself to Jesus Christ, to be consumed with Him, to give yourself in service to Jesus Christ? Or will you be a branch in the wicked tree that the seed is unthankfulness? Oh, my friend, let us always recognize who Jesus Christ is. Let us shout for joy all the earth. Let us worship the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful songs. Let us know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good to you, and His love to you endures forever. His faithfulness to you continues through all generations. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father,